Good evening. Welcome to church this evening as we join together as God's family to receive his good gifts for us in his son Jesus. If you don't recognize me, my name is Pastor Andrew Landbauer. I'm the associate pastor at St. Paul's, and it sounds like I'll get to see you at least another couple times this Lenten season. And it is an honor and a blessing to walk with you and worship with you during this time of Lent. And so as we worship together, please have some patience with me if I don't do things the way you're used to. I'm learning, right? Always learning and growing. But it is a blessing to be here together. And then also, depending on how long I preach, I may have to leave quickly to go preach back in Concordia so Pastor Michael isn't stuck trying to figure something out on his own. So that could be interesting, though. But anyways, as we gather this evening, it is a blessing to be here. We're going to be continuing in a worship theme and series that Pastor Michael started last week, The Sounds of the Passion. And tonight, we're going to be talking about rattling coins, focusing in on Matthew chapter 26, and looking at a hard character to keep our focus on for too long, that disciple Judas, as he goes about looking towards those 30 coins to betray his Lord. But we'll see that in the midst of that, as hard as it is to look at him, to hear that rattling of those coins and the sin that comes with it, our Lord and Savior has grace and a loving plan for each of us, and he asks us to focus on him, not Judas. But as we gather together, God's blessings on each of you as we spend this time focusing on God's word and hearing his gifts together. So we will begin our service by singing that opening hymn number 433. Please rise as you are able. As God's service to you begins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands.
He entered into heaven itself to appear now before us.
did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again.
Once for all times, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death on the cross.
Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses.
The one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin.
Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace.
That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
And let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified. Mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And you may be seated. Our first reading for this second midweek Lenten service is from Genesis chapter 37. Here we hear of Joseph and his brothers selling him into slavery. Now Joseph's brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are pasturing the flock." And the man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from afar, and before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we will say that a fierce animal has devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he rescued him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the robe of many colors that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing gum, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers listened to him. Then the Midianite traders passed by, and they drew Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. They took Joseph to Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I invite you to rise as you are able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And our gospel reading this evening is from Matthew chapter 26. Here Judas agrees to betray Jesus in return for 30 pieces of silver. When Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always will have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, hymn number 437. Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up in Lake Ozark, Missouri, our church was right up the way from the Bagnell Dam Strip. And as a pastor's kid, Most school day afternoons after school, I spent waiting around at church as my dad did pastor things, or my mom did choir director, Sunday school, or ladies' aid things. And when I finally hit middle school, I convinced them to let me run down the street to the top of the strip to a place called the Rebel Arcade, where I could play 10-cent skee ball after school. And maybe I could play some more expensive games if I could round up the quarters. But I always remember, as much as I played skee ball and these other things, there was a certain game that always kind of caught my attention. It was the coin pusher. Have you ever seen one of these, right? You look through that clear top, and there's this metal sheet full of quarters and this barrier that moves in and out and in and out over and over, pushing the coins to the edge. And it was just something that was so tempting. I just thought that has to be so easy because you look and the coins were hanging over, stacked on top, just about to fall. And the whole point is you put it in the chute, and if you can time it just right and at the right angle, it'll land and push the quarters over and you will be rich. At least according to a 12-year-old. And I only tried it a few times and it was disappointing. Clink. Oh. Clink. Ah. Clink. I'm running out of quarters. My goodness. I figured I was just going to waste all my quarters if I kept playing this silly game. So I stopped and went back to skee ball and to a whole bunch of big buck hunting, I think, was one of the favorites. But still in the back of my mind, I could hear those coins. As someone would inevitably win some, you'd hear the clinking and clanking rattle of those coins coming down. And it was right there drawing my attention. I remember one time, someone hit the jackpot. I heard it, all these coins rattling down, and I look, and it was a kid that I knew from Little League Baseball. He's a little older than me, and so I ran up to him, and I said, "How much did you win?" $3.50. He seemed very proud, even though he noted he'd spent $5 playing the game. But that rattling and clinking of coins, it's hard to ignore. It stirs in us a desire. It draws our focus. It bubbles up our greed. And often when it draws you in, you lose so much more than you ever gain. Today we hear the rattling of coins in our gospel reading. And it does draw our attention. You see, it sets our focus immediately on the receiver of those coins, as you know that that's what's filling his ears. This ominous character whose name has become an accusation that people use against one another. One of the 12 whom Jesus chose and loved, but the one of the 12 who so unsettles us. Because he did not love Jesus. At the very least, his actions did not show any type of love. Judas Iscariot. Judas and his rattling coins send us down a rabbit hole right at the outset of this passion narrative. As much as we've already been prepared for this, it's not a surprise. In Matthew 10, as he gives that list of the 12 disciples, he names Judas last with this note, who betrayed him. Even though it's not a surprise, it's still shocking. Every time I read this narrative in Matthew 26, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot. Think about that. One of the 12. One with whom Jesus had walked and laughed and worked and grieved. One with whom he ate and spent so much time. One that Jesus poured into, encouraged, gave authority, embraced. One who Jesus chose. And those who he chose, he loved. One of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the high priest and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you?" "What is the price for betraying the Son of God? What is the price for betraying a teacher, a friend, and a brother?" Coins rattled, 30 of them, actually, which in the end is about 3 months' labor's worth of coins. And it doesn't seem like a whole lot to betray someone who has loved you so well. Although this is the price demanded in Exodus 21, if your ox were to gore or trample someone else's slave, these 30 coins, this was a dead slave price that Judas was given. And those 30 coins rattled before him as he looked for an opportune time to betray his Lord. And this is disturbing. Doesn't matter how many times we read it or hear it, it is unsettling. How did this happen? Why did he do it? Especially being called out specifically at that Last Supper. As Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" And he answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" And Jesus said to him, "You have said so." Jesus knew. Of course he knew. But this is the first time that Judas understood that Jesus knew what was in his heart, what his intentions were. But instead of repenting or begging for forgiveness, throwing himself at Jesus' mercy, he goes to carry out the deed. Those 30 silver coins rattling in his ear. And he does betray Jesus. With a kiss, no less. Jesus is taken away. The 30 silver coins rattle right into Judas's hands. And after this happens, they are still his focus, but something has changed. Instead of inspiring this desire or jealousy or greed that they had prior to this, and instead of providing him with that happy high that he hoped he would hold, the rattling accuses him. Each step, he's clinking, and it's calling out, "Backstabber, liar, murderer." Like a hunted animal, he runs to the temple, makes it to the outer court, sees the priests who paid him, and he calls out to them, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And he's met with, "What is this to us? See to it yourself." Cold, uncaring apathy. And that rattling of the coins becomes loathsome to him. And so he throws the bag into that temple court, and the coins continue to rattle across the temple grounds, still accusing, reminding him that he had earned those coins fair and square. And even if the blood money was cast away, the stain of that blood is all over him. But Judas continues in the same focus that he has throughout, focused on the rattling coins, focused in on himself. If possible, he curved even further in on himself. And there, amid the rattle of fear and sorrow, guilt and shame, he despairs. And the rattle of coins become the rattle of death. And here we are, having gone down this horrific rabbit hole, focusing on the coins, focusing on Judas. And what does that do to our focus? Well, things get scary pretty quickly, I imagine, and they do for me. All the questions. How did this happen to him? How could one who is so close to Jesus, his teaching, his miracles, his healings, his touch, fall so hard? How is it possible that he missed that obvious, overwhelming, forgiving grace that Jesus proclaimed and that he was actively winning for all creation? Finally, maybe that one that hangs out there. What happened to Judas? Where did he end up? This is heavy stuff. All these questions turn us, like Judas, in on ourselves. If it was possible for one of the 12, how do I stand a chance? What about my sin? I have betrayed Jesus time and time again in thought, word, and deed. The coins rattle for me as they rattle for all mankind, accusing us, inspiring fear, sorrow, guilt, and shame. But this is the exact problem. This focus on the coins, the focus on Judas, the focus on ourselves. The story isn't about Judas or the coins. Something that Judas tragically never realized, or realized far too late. See, his eyes were directed everywhere except where they needed to be, upon Jesus. The Jesus who chose him, the Jesus who loved him, who offered him every blessing possible, the Jesus who died for, yes, even Judas's sin and betrayal. Even as Jesus turned his betrayal upside down and used it as a pathway for his goal of forgiving grace poured out on the cross. You see, our eyes must turn from the coins. They must turn from Judas and from ourselves to Jesus Christ, especially Jesus on the cross. The Jesus who willingly, determinedly, not under the power of Judas or under the high priests or the powers that be, who under his own power went to the cross out of love for a humanity that betrayed him. He went for you and me in the midst of all of our sin. And dying on the cross, he proclaims his love and forgiveness, even there pleading with his Father to forgive those who are actively killing him and mocking him in his dying moments. Looking upon that Jesus who did not stay dead, but rose and promises forgiveness and life to all who believe, looking upon him, we see grace that goes far deeper than our worst betrayals. We see forgiveness that washes us in righteous blood. Yes, staining us. Staining us that pure white of snow. And we hear a loving voice that drowns out those rattling accusations of all of our guilt. Washing it away, saying, "You are forgiven." And assuring us that even as we ask, "How can man be saved?" saying, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And promising us that in all things, truly I am with you to the very end of the age. In any and all times in which doubt or guilt or terror rattle in your ears, stealing your focus, look to Jesus. Hear his word His forgiveness, His grace, and His life are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human wisdom and understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And at this time, we will collect our tithes and offerings, our first fruits given to God for His ministry in this place. And during this time, do you have a fellowship or attendance list that you fill out? Okay, well, never mind. During this time, take a look around you at those faithful faces gathered and share the peace of Christ with each other after the service. And our service continues with a time of prayer. Each petition will conclude with, "Let us pray to the Lord," to which the congregation will respond, "Lord, have mercy." Please rise as you are able for this time of prayer. O God of Lent's blessings, open the ears of your people this somber season, that we may hear Lent's holy proclamation. Then bearing in our hearts and on our minds the message, Christ crucified, we will be empowered to take up our crosses, to give up our lives, and to do your good and gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord. We thank you, O God, that of sins repented, you have said, I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. We all acknowledge that we fall short of your glory, and that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We rejoice, O God, that you do not only forgive, but even remove the remembrance of the sins for which we are heartily sorry. Enable us, we pray, to strive eagerly to do what pleases you. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. And you may be seated as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 425.